Surely we agree that all this is good. I can see you all nodding. What is there to argue about against in any of this? And children. Now, actually, Paul is probably referring more to teenagers than he is to children and infants. And children, doesn't it gladden our hearts when we experience children as obedient to parents and grandparents? Well, doesn't it sadden when we see them in supermarkets, rude, selfish, mucking about, trying to get their parents to buy something, and on the streets, and in all manner of public places? Are we not sad when we see children disobedient to parents and grandparents? Children are to obey their parents. And saying that, as something which pleases God, Paul is not thinking of a family where parental demands are contrary to the love of Christ. He's writing about a family of mutual love where Christian parents never denigrate, never belittle, never discourage their children. And surely we'd all agree with that. A proper balance between, in the mutual love between parent and child, child and parent. And that mutual love between parent and child is rooted in a husband and wife's unity of love. Husbands are not to be harsh. In other words, husbands are to behave, as he said earlier in Colossians. They are to be domestic expressions of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And later, Eleanor will tell you just how much I failed at. But to know that something is an ideal which you're working towards is not the same thing as to denying the ideal. Surely it's an ideal, it's an endeavour in faith and love which we can all support, even if we all fall short. So here, of course, is a question. Given all this agreement with everything Paul's been saying about masters and slaves, employers and employees, parents and children and husbands, and wives, no, as is fitting in the Lord. It's a very popular thing to do for Christian fiancés to say, I want to rewrite, I don't want those words, I want to rewrite it so it doesn't include obey. Now, this isn't a superficial question. Asking it's really important. It's actually really important, firstly, to remember that Paul is writing about truly Christian marriages. A couple who are committed by their marriage vows to put on love, which, as he says earlier, binds Christians together in unity. And Paul is not thinking of a situation of a marriage where a husband exercises tyranny over their wives. In fact, he writes against that. He says, do not be harsh with your wives. Love them. And there's much in the Old Testament which actually justifies divorce on the grounds of tyranny by husbands. Now, I know that many people question whether the Bible is the Word of God or whether it contains the Word of God. See, they're two different things, aren't they? The latter, the idea that the Bible contains some Word of God, means that some words you read in the Bible are not to be followed, because they are the words of men. But I just have a simple question. By what criteria do we decide that when Paul says in verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus? And what he wrote in verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Why these resonate as the obedient, obeyable words of God, but the words of verse 18, wives submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord, are to be rejected as not obeyable words. That they are somehow the words of a culture-captured man and can be safely ignored. This is just an example of a deeper issue. It's a deeper issue. But when we bump up in Scripture against words that challenge our ideas, we have to ask ourselves, are we lives rooted and built up in Christ, doing what pleases God and is fitting to the Lord? Living lives which have become captive to human tradition and the basic principles. See, this is a vital question for how we read Scripture. Do we read it with the eyes of God, or do we read it with the eyes of the world? Do we accept what we like and reject what challenges us? And this is not just something to pick out, because actually Paul moves on to how a church, having spoken about how churches relate to Christ, how churches walk in holiness, how churches are to treat one another in the domestic sphere, he then speaks of how churches are to treat people who are not Christians. See, and he says the most important thing he says about that is actually the church community comes and he sets out some things we're to put before the Lord in prayer. We are to petition him to bring the kingdom. This is why praying the Lord's Prayer every week is important. Not because it's a repetition that saves our thinking, but because it reminds us that hallowed, holy is our God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want the kingdom to come. We're very glad it hasn't come yet, because that gives us the chance to be brought into it. But Lord, we're praying, bring in the kingdom, end the evil of this world. We are to petition him that he will open doors for the gospel. We've been saved. We know how wonderful it is to be saved. We delight in being rescued from darkness to light. Therefore, petition the Lord to open doors for the gospel. And we are to petition him so that we are able to proclaim the gospel clearly, wisely, and appropriately to all those people around us who are not saved, whether they be street neighbours, brigade children and families, or fellow workers. And this isn't easy. This is actually very difficult. And we're to petition him that he will help us in doing it, that he will help us share the gospel with grace, but not with dullness and insipidity and boringly, but with vitality. And the difficulty we face is that when we walk in the world without this prayer, without a real sense of the Holy Spirit hugging us and engaging with us and being with us when we go out, when we're faced with a situation where nobody seems to care about the Lord, we don't know how to speak into it or what to say to people, or how to share the good news. So all this, of course, that Paul is advocating, raises the question for us: are we a people devoted to petitioning God to bring in the kingdom, to open doors for the gospel, to help us proclaim it clearly, wisely, and appropriately, with grace and salt? Are we leaving it to others? I think for myself that we probably all recognise that's what we should be, but we probably are very challenged about making it so in our own lives. And I think the only way we can move from should be to are be is actually to encourage one another by meeting together, helping one another, to grow, to ask the Lord to open up our hearts, to give us that grace, to give us that skill, helping one another. And when we don't do it, by confessing that and saying, look, we didn't do this, help us, Lord. Help us to recognise who we should pray for. Help us to recognise what we ought to pray for. Help us to recognise how to speak. Help us to pray for ourselves, that as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, the Holy Spirit would teach us how to share the good news with others. It's not simply for ourselves. It's not simply for our homes. It's for everyone. And every time we fail in that, it's a time for confession. It's a time for coming back to the Lord and asking him in prayer, help us, Lord. The next time, may we find a way of speaking with grace and with salt. In Jesus' name, amen.